It was Christmas Eve, babe, in the drunk tank. An old man said to me, you'll never see another one. And then he sang a song, the rare old Mountain Dew. I turned my face away and dreamed about you.
That's it. I want more.
I don't got the greatest fuck.
That's a great track, man. Yeah, that's a great video. That's a great track. That's a great everything.
Great. Did you listen to that song?
Yeah, I know that.
Oh, you know
that? That's my era, man.
Oh, that's a great song. The Pogues.
When I was in my, I guess, the high school years, the late high school years into my early 20s and shit, I was all about the imports, man.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't listening to as much as I respect the Canadian artists and the American artists back then.
Of course.
Nah, man, you get me on that. The Pogues, you get all that shit, man.
Oh, yeah.
I love all that stuff.
Yeah,
man.
I love that kind of music.
The Clash.
Clash, another great
one.
Then
you get into the 90s and you get into Blur and you get into Oasis.
Great. I'm a big I listen to anything. I'll listen to anything from fucking Cannibal Corpse to Lady Gaga. You know what I mean?
So, I won't listen to Lady Gaga.
I'll listen to a few tracks.
And I won't listen to Taylor Twitt, man.
No,
I can't stand
Lady
her.
Lady Gaga, a lot of people give her shit, but she's pretty talented. She wrote a lot of hits.
She's not talented. Out of all the bunch, I'm just not a fan of her music, poker and all that shit. I don't care about it, but
that's okay.
She made her mark, and it's good for her, and she's got a voice. I will say that.
Oh, yeah, God,
she ain't auto-tuned to death,
right?
No.
Definitely not.
Bear, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to have you, man.
Good. I'm glad.
Right. What are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about cement finishing. We're going to talk about a little bit of union. We're going to talk about construction.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the younger generation.
Yeah.
A little bit of everything, man. There's no fucking script. We just talk. We shoot the shit.
Absolutely.
I can't share any details right now other than you're just from the union and all around nice guy and you just do great work and you've had your fair share of interactions with Pork Chops. And I guess Pork Chops and Wops.
And
can
Wops.
We call them Wops?
Yeah, you know.
can we say Pork Chop and Wops?
They call me Mungy Cake, so, you know, I think it's fair. I think it's fair, but I got a lot of respect for those guys, you know. All those guys, they came here with fuck all.
They came here with a hard work ethic.
That's absolutely what they came here. I was actually talking to an old foreman of mine on the way here. So he's 76 years old now.
Okay.
And fuck, he was, you know, on site, he would be a bit much to deal with, but I was just telling him, you know, when I was younger, I didn't really appreciate what you did, and now I get it, because I've seen sites without guys like you, and they're a disaster. You need a guy who's there just busting people's chops all day. You fucking go do that.
A shadow.
You do that. Oh, it's important.
It's important, but it's not there these days, because they're all retiring, moving on.
They're all retiring. Because to be a boss, a foreman, or just anybody in management position in construction, you got to have balls of steel.
Yeah.
Because you got to be ready for people that maybe not like you. And you have to understand that's okay because you're making production. You're all about production, which is understandable.
But that's not today's work ethic in a construction project.
You know, there's still some people that have it. Even younger guys. I've worked with some younger guys. They're still hard working guys. But I think maybe it's the passion's not there. You know, like so maybe people are just like, it's just a job.
I think it's because there's other options on the table. It's kind of like back in the day when you were dating. No. The pool was a lot smaller.
Yeah.
So you didn't have so many to choose from. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, you literally blink and you can choose from thousands if you want. Yeah.
No, that's.
So I think that the work is the same thing. It's like they were like, okay, I'll give this a go for now. I'll get on the job site.
Yeah.
If it starts to irritate me, I'll get the fuck out.
Yeah. Yeah. For
sure.
That's
when you learn.
For sure. And I will say one thing though, the youth of today, they're fucking smart. A lot of them. They're fucking smart. Yeah, they know stuff about computers and all this shit that I got my grade 10 and barely that. You know, I think when I dropped out, my average in school was a 4. So, you know, that shows how much attention high school I was paying. But I'm no fucking dummy. I just wasn't into school.
But you just perfected other skills elsewhere. Yeah, That's all it is.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I went to work at a young age, 16, and that's all I know.
You were just told there. Lift, move, hustle.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then receive pay, and then come back and do it again.
Exactly.
And come back and do it again.
Yeah, exactly. And it's changed a lot, construction, even in the 21 years I've been doing it. I'm not old. I'm only 37.
Is it hard to say that it's gotten better or worse, or it's just different?
It's just, I want to say not worse, it's just different. It's just different. You know what's a big thing now? People don't respect bosses like they used to.
Funny you bring that up. I've got a kid coming on the show, 27-year-old, 6 years in the business as a super.
Yeah.
And he's got a lot to say. I actually chatted with him on the phone, and he's got a lot of interesting things to say.
Sure he does.
One of which is that he's there trying to become more efficient, and he's there to work with the trades, and he's there to fulfill their needs, but he gets a lot of resistance from the upper management.
Was he on the tools before or no?
He went to school. I don't know if he went. I think he's gotten that kind of grandfather father training, and then he went to school, and then he's been a super for 6 years now. Young kid, 27.
Yeah, that's young.
That's young, right? That's young. So now he's on site and super, right?
You see, before I remember, almost all the supers when I was younger were a trade before. And most of them were carpenters.
They worked their way up.
Yeah, most of them were carpenters. 100%,
but that's not the case. Most supers are coming out of school. Out of school
now, right? And I feel bad for that, but I feel they don't get the respect. Because they're like, what the fuck do you know? You were in school. You know what I mean? Like, you weren't on the tools.
I
know,
but I never looked at anybody in construction that way. I didn't care. I really honestly didn't care where you came from culturally or educationally. I cared about what you were doing on my site. So if you came in and you wanted to bid for a specific scope, and then I liked you from speaking with you, I gave you the opportunity and you did a good job, then great. You can come back and complete it. Sure. But I also let a couple of guys go, because once I started seeing them work, I'm like, this is not working, man. Like, you're going to, based on what I've already seen for the first half of the day, you're going to take easily twice or sometimes three times longer than I'm assuming it's going to take. But I'm basing it off of other people that I worked with. Yeah. So I didn't really care about what papers, what docs, and it didn't bother me.
No, man. And I get that too. I like to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. I just think a lot of older guy, even older than myself, we're talking like, you know, mid 40s to 50s, say, who have been, let's say, a carpenter, or bricklayer, or cement finisher, electrician, whatever job it is, they get some 27-year-old guy who's been a super for 6 years telling them what to do, and they're kind of like, you're not going to tell me nothing. You know what I mean? Like, that's the problem with that. And I'm not saying that guy doesn't know his shit, because he probably does, that kid. He probably does know his shit.
I'm
he
not went faulting to the old guys. I'm not faulting.
No, I'm
the
not
The old
either.
Guys are not looking for a resume.
No.
The old guys are looking for a sign that they understand who we are.
Yes.
That's what they're looking for.
Yes, because the older guys are big on respect.
Respect.
Respect. You know what I mean? Because you know,
they earned it.
Yeah, they put in their time.
Yeah.
And I, you know, some older guys will take advantage of you and stuff like that, but I always try to respect the old timers because they put in their time. You know, and they're busted. Listen, I'm busted. I'm fucking 37 years old.
You're having a conversation with a 76-year-old.
Yeah. And he respects me. And he told me that on the phone. He says, you know, I respected a lot what you did for our company because you worked hard. And I didn't have to tell you to work hard.
I think these kids are not understanding the value of a 76-year-old and the decades of experience behind them. And instead, they just dismissed them as if they're old, right? There's two sides to that blade, man. Seriously, two sides. Much as the old guys are looking at the young guys and thinking, oh, well, you know, there's no respect here, man. We got to show both sides, right? Mm-hmm. But it's the flip side as well, too. You know what I mean? They need to be paying attention. It doesn't matter how crusty this old guy is.
Oh, yeah.
There's fucking nuggets
there, that guy's done everything you've done and more. You know, that guy was probably running jobs for 45 fucking years, running jobs, not just a guy running the whole job, you know, because he was in his 60s when I worked with him, when I was like 25, 26.
Have you seen the technology unfold right in front of your eyes over the years that you've been in construction? When I say that, I mean by the new toys that are being implemented, because a lot of the young guys are the ones that are foremost looking at the new toys and bringing it to the job site.
Yeah, and that's what I mean by the young guys. They're smart, some of them, and they figure out things that you might not even have seen. Be like, holy fuck, I've been doing this 20 years. I didn't think to do that.
Yeah,
you know, they're smart. These younger, they're more. You know, I'm not saying I was a fucking dummy. Like, I did good in school until high school, and then I was just getting high. I know, you know,
but you get on the job site, and you blended right in. Like, you.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
knew it was yeah. hard work. You knew yeah. what the scope yeah. was. You knew because yeah. you would watch probably the team there, And I always call them like gypsies. Like everybody has an action to do something.
Oh yeah.
Right. And then nobody's just literally, it's not government work where you're standing around and like 10 guys are standing, one guy's doing the work, right?
Yeah.
It's not like that. When you're on a job like that, you got to perform.
Oh, you got to produce.
So then all of a sudden you're there standing as a new guy, you're seeing who's top man, who's low man, and who the flanks are. You're seeing everything unfold.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Then you throw yourself right in.
Yeah,
absolutely. And you try to become one of them.
Absolutely. And I pride myself on, like, not only I'm a hard worker, but I'm a pretty personable guy. Like, I get along with most people. Like, I wear my heart on my sleeve. I'm an emotional
guy. Yeah.
As much as, you know, construction workers supposed to be hard asses or whatever the fuck. And I smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day.
You can still be that way,
but I'm an emotional guy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I wear my heart on my sleeve. I love my kids. I tell my family I love them all the time. And so that, even guys at work, you know, I have guys at work that are like brothers to me.
Yeah.
You know, I have this guy, I won't mention his name because I'm not mentioning any names. But anyways, but he's from El Salvador.
Okay.
And I met him about 6 years ago. Okay, and good guy. You know, and when I first met him in 2019, we were at a company, a floor finishing company. He was quiet, and he was a hard worker. You know, he didn't know
he was quiet lot. Because he didn't know
this. Yeah, he didn't, and he was quiet. And now he doesn't shut up. But he's a great guy, and, you know, I've become very close to him. I've been to his house. I've met his kids. My kids play with his kids and stuff like
that. Does he ever talk about food?
Oh, yeah, he's bigger than me. So he got me on the El Salvadorian pupusas. Ooh, those things.
What are they?
Oh, buddy, what a cuisine. Like, that's got to be one of the
greatest. He brought them in one day?
Yeah, so his mom home makes them.
Oh.
And they look like a little pancake stuffed with meat and cheese, and you can get zucchini, and they put them on a griddle and fry them, and they put homemade coleslaw and a hot sauce. Delicious. Go try them out. They're all over Toronto. No,
I know. There's a, what's it called?
Pupusa Loco?
No. There's a place in Keelan, Lawrence area.
Yeah.
Probably, I'm trying to think of, and they'll probably hate me. I think they're South American, but I just don't remember which country, but they do something similar where it's like that corn-based little tortilla kind of shell.
Oh, that's delicious.
And they open it up and they just stuff it with, you could choose whatever, with beef or with chicken or whatever. And I'm like, it's so good.
Oh yeah. Latino,
it's so good,
Latino
man.
Food or whatever you want to call it. Delicious.
But that's like, how it was back in the day with the Portuguese and the Charisse and all that. They bring all this shit in, man.
That's another cuisine.
The pasta that comes in.
Yeah.
Back in the day though, there would have been a bottle of wine in the toolbox.
Oh yeah. I guess we.
But I don't have a problem with that.
No, I guess we can talk about that because that was 20 years ago. But I worked, with my buddy's dad, and whatever. He doesn't work anymore. He's retired or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, we were drinking on the job every day. You know what I mean? And you know what? That guy, he would drink at work.
Yeah.
Serious fucking worker. Work like he would never get like stupid. Like, but he would. He'd probably be drunk.
Would just enjoy it.
Yeah, and he didn't drive.
No,
he got picked up every day for work.
Good
in a van, so he never drink and drove. But that guy said, you know, I'm bringing a six pack to work. I don't care, you know. But he would give her. What a hard working man.
There's two things I think. It's you ever see. You probably do this, but I saw this when I was much younger with my dad and his friends. Whenever the friends would come over to our house to help them do something that day, whether it was a concrete pour or some sort of brick lane. And then they would have that lunch break where all the wives would make food.
Yeah.
And I think that's where that comes from.
And the beer and the wine.
That's where it comes from.
Yeah. Cause back in, home, you know, Italy and stuff like that. Or
that's Portugal, how it was.
They're going home for lunch.
You break bread, man.
For 2 hours and having a couple of vinos or whatever and whatever. As long as you're responsible. You
that's
know
all
what I mean?
It is, right?
But nowadays, you can't.
But on the other side, I'm pretty sure there's lots of executives up in the ivory towers that are
having a couple.
They're probably doing rails.
Yeah. We're just pounding beers. We can't afford the cocaine at work, you know? Fuck a cocaine. One 8-ball's fucking a day at work, man. You know?
Not for them.
But not for them, but for us. You know, I got to work hard for an 8-ball, you know?
Right? All of a sudden, the executive's going, no, we don't do that. I think you guys kind of do that. But I don't frown upon it, right? And you just got to be careful about it. I don't need a sinking drunk on site.
I don't.
When it comes to spray foam and blown-in insulation for your next project, there's no better team than Mohammed and his crew at Foamit. With well-educated, skilled installers, Fomit doesn't just get the job done, they do it right. They take the time to properly estimate and educate you on every aspect of your project, ensuring your building envelope is airtight and energy efficient. As leaders in the industry, they bring a deep understanding of building science to every job, making sure your project stands the test of time. But don't just take their word for it. Past clients constantly praise the quality of work and professionalism of the Fomit team. From homeowners to large-scale contractors, feedback has been overwhelmingly positive, with clients appreciating their attention to detail, the thoroughness of their crew, and the results that speak for themselves. At Fomit, they pride themselves on building lasting relationships through exceptional service, reliability, and the commitment to exceeding expectations on every single project. Whether you're insulating a new build, upgrading an older property, or tackling a commercial project, Fomit is your trusted partner in achieving energy efficiency and comfort. They understand the importance of getting it right the first time, and that's why so many clients return to them for future projects. Connect with Fomit today. Reach them at 416-893-8712 or 647-961-9777. Email them at mohammed@fomit.ca or visit them at www.fomit.ca. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn to see their latest projects and innovations. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
I don't do anything at work. And I didn't. When I was younger, okay, whatever. But now I take my job very seriously. I don't smoke dope and cigarettes, and that's it for me. Coffee.
But lots of guys are smoking dope weed nowadays. Hey, they're arriving stink, man. Just like.
Oh, yeah.
And my question is, why do you have to wake up and need that?
Well, I don't care what anybody says. I think marijuana is an addictive substance.
Yeah, no, for sure it is.
It is, right? And some
anything that you can't just stop is an addictive.
But that's become the new thing because I've met guys, animals, and they can smoke bats all day and work like horses. You know what I mean? But they need it. You know, just like the guys back in the day drinking their wine at lunch. It's the same thing.
What's worse, smoking weed like that or drinking energy drinks like that?
The energy drinks, oh buddy, I get.
I see a lot of contractors, a lot of trades. They're just sitting back that shit like nothing.
Well, right? I do that only if a coffee is my thing, but I'll do that if I really need to. Like if I'm doing a long, long shift, yeah, I'll go buy energy drinks and just, you know,
and you just get that burst, huh?
Yeah, just to get but you don't through you it.
Crash though later on.
Yeah, I do, but I usually it's the all that shit together, the smoking. You know, I don't know how many times I chain smoke on the way home just to stay awake to not. Crash my car into a ditch after a long day of work.
Listen, man, construction's hard.
It is, yeah.
It's hard on you mentally. It's hard on you physically.
It is. And that's
the... It's rewarding, but it's hard. It is.
And that's the finishing aspect. A lot of people don't get that. You know, we had a job... Was it last summer or the summer before? Anyways, I can't remember. It was an old age home or something. I don't even remember where it was. And the police came. The police came because we were making noise. And the police came and go, what the fuck are you guys doing here? We're like, oh, we're finishing the floor. They're like, why didn't you start this in the morning? They're like, we did. It's not done yet. And they're like.
What time were they coming by?
Like 11 o'clock at night.
And you guys started at 7. Yeah. 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Yeah, right? So they were like, you're making noise. Like people are complaining. They're like, yeah, I realize, but our job's not done. And they're like. Well, it's going to be done now. Oh, yeah, it's going to be done. You know, like, and they kicked us out, right?
Oh, so you guys couldn't even finish.
No, we had to abandon the floor. And then we came back the next morning at 7, throwing buckets of water on it, trying to revive it, but it was done.
You can't.
Yeah, you can't. It got hard.
Speaking of which, let's get into concrete today and concrete from yesterday.
No, yeah.
What the fuck are these scientists, these mad scientists putting in there now?
Yeah, it's... You know, you still get good concrete more in commercial jobs. They don't put the stupid shit in it, but the high rise is out of control.
They're putting additives. Oh, they're putting
rust inhibitor and Winter Mix 6 and plasticizer because they won't want to put water and fucking 24 hour.
But it doesn't have the decades of testing behind it the same way that concrete from yesterday has.
The high rise, like I did high rise for about 4 years doing floors in high rise, and high rise the quality of the floor, they don't give a fuck. They want it in to put the forms on. They want the building to progress. That's all they're thinking. The floor is just to put walls on so they can progress the building. And they want it in as fast as possible. And, you know, you don't see guys polishing a high-rise floor anymore to make it beautiful because they're going to come in and smash it with rebar and jacks the next day.
I was shocked to find out. I had a grinding company in here.
Oh, yeah.
And they never pour to level. They pour within a certain
variance. They recede it and then flood it.
And then they come back in, and then they start grinding it down to within an eighth, or I think it's an eighth of an inch you're supposed to. Or a quarter of an inch.
Yeah, an eighth. Eighth is like really
for the finishing. Yeah. For the finishing.
Usually, to be honest, high-rise floors have a 10 to 12 mil tolerance.
That's half inch.
I know, but you have to understand there's so many factors when it goes into higher floors, deflection, you know, because you're pouring on top of fly forms, right? Then they're putting high early, so they're stripping the fly forms in a couple of days and jacking it back up. What do you think?
All they care about is getting
up. You think that jack's not making the floor sag? Of course the floor's sagging.
Of course it is.
So that's why you'll see, but now, and also you're screeding the by hand. You're usually using just a gauge. You're not even using a laser. So you're only as good as the deck.
If you're doing one floor and you're out by 2 mil here, out by another 3 mil here.
Exactly. It starts
to, all of a sudden, now you got Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Exactly. It's all factored in. Deficiencies are factored into higher.
That's what I was always shocked about.
Yeah. Well, they just.
It's designed. You do the job. Now you come, somebody else comes behind you.
To fix it.
Yeah. To fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how they move the project.
Yeah, but that's high rise. Like every high, I don't give a fuck who's there finishing the floors. There's deficiencies on high rise floors. Always. And it's just keeping them to a minimum. But there's always something.
It hasn't, I don't think I've ever, not on a high rise. I've never been on a high rise in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in a high rise recently in Turkey.
Oh, really?
That was a little fucking scary.
Was it? Is it bad there? Like, yeah. Yeah, I saw one in Dominican using the gin wheels to pull up concrete. I was like, oh, these poor bastards.
When you've got the guy at the bottom with the crane and just setting things up, and he's wearing sandals.
Yeah.
No hard hat.
Yeah.
And he's tying off one pick point on rebar, and I'm stepping back.
Yeah. Yeah, it's scary.
Then I just like, because I'm this kind of person, I go, listen, can I go in there? Yeah. And he goes, yeah, sure, no problem.
Yeah.
And I go in there and I'm like, there's no safety rails anywhere. If you're not conscious of your surroundings, you're going right down.
But you see, they don't know anything else. So there, it doesn't bother them.
That's how they build. Yeah. That's what he said to me. He goes, don't judge us, Manny. Don't judge us. This is how it's done here.
And that's how it was here. Up till when? The 70s, safety started getting a bit. Like, you didn't have to wear a hard hat here till when? The 70s?
Was it that long?
I think so.
Really, yeah?
Well, I know the hard hat, I think, was invented at the Hoover Dam when they did the dam in the States. I'm pretty sure that's when it was invented. Was that? The early 1900s?
1920s?
I don't think it was like law. Like they were just like, oh, we have this thing if you want to wear it. And guys are like, oh, what am I, pussy?
Are they making you wear chin straps now?
I heard that's coming to high rise.
Well, I was told PSL and Elliston, they're now implementing it.
They're trying
to get it before the law comes in.
I believe it. PCL and Elliston are big, big multi-billion-dollar companies, and they take safety very seriously because, you know, you got to figure they have one accident on one of their jobs. It affects all their jobs, and their premiums go up for everything. Yeah. So they're super like, no this, no that, no smoking, no nothing.
They're making a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like when we say a lot of money, we're talking like a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
Billions.
Yeah. Billions. Oh, yeah. Billions. Yeah. They're doing the big, big hospital jobs and like they're doing the big,
who was
big jobs.
Skydome? Was Elliston Skydome?
I believe it was Elliston. Yeah. That would be such a cool job to work in. I would have loved to work on that job.
That would have been great.
Mm-hmm. But I've done some good ones. I've done a lot of universities and
I wish we would design better buildings here so we can go. I fucking worked on that.
Yeah, there's not much.
When's the last time you said that? To somebody.
You know what? Birch Mountain Enterprise, there was a job I did there. Big job in Markham, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
That was a massive.
What was cool
project.
About it? What's
it was
out?
I think it was five towers. Well, it was like a city block job. And just the foundation for that building. So we poured raft slabs. It was 30,000 meters of raft slab before we even got
going. For each tower?
No, for the whole site.
Oh, so you did one large?
No, we were doing them in like 1,500 to 2,500 meters at a time. But below that, we would pour a mud slab. Then they would waterproof that mud slab. Then we do another mud slab. Then they'd put the 8 feet of steel in, then pour the raft slab. Then they'd put 2-3 feet of clear stone, and then we'd pour the slab on grades. It was a massive undertaking, that job.
I'm just shaking my head because the buildings nearby don't have any of that, and they're still erect.
Yeah, but that building will survive a nuclear holocaust. Like,
what's the mud slab like? What are you, you're pouring in a mud slab?
Yeah, it's just you're pouring it on top of mud. Pretty much. Like, they're digging way down into the ground. This is where the underground park is.
So they've disturbed.
Yeah.
And now they got to settle something.
Yeah, and now they just pour.
It's still cementitious? Like,
oh, yeah, yeah. Over it's just, I would guess, lower MPA.
That's all it is,
yeah. Not as, because it's just whatever. Just, it's just to, for a flat ground for the raft slab to sit on afterwards. So these raft slabs were nuts, man. I remember, like, that job was just mass production. Like, I remember one day we finished doing, I think, like, a 1,500-meter raft slab. Like, okay, guys, we're going to do a mud slab over there for the next raft slab. I was like, well, how big is this mud slab? It was, like, 5 p.m. They're like, 300 meters. I was like, it's 5 p.m. We're going to start 300 meters now? They're like, yeah. I was like, holy. And then you're just, you know. Then
are
you
there start- no labor laws? Like, you got to, you've already done, what, 10 hours? Yeah. At that time?
That's out the window for cement finishing. That's out the window. You know, there's a law I heard you're supposed to have 8 hours between shifts.
Yeah, that's what I thought. No?
Well, you know.
What is it, like a half hour break?
No. Yeah, kind of no break. Just keep going till that guy passed. No, get somebody else in here. You know? So there's no breaks in concrete, man.
You just go.
You just go until it's done. Because
the concrete's not waiting for anybody. The
concrete's not waiting. We have a very few jobs have time-sensitive material like we do. You know, it's time-sensitive.
How are the truckers? How are the guys when they come on site?
You know what? Usually the concrete truck drivers, yeah. Usually you're nice to them, they're nice to you.
Yeah, that's
there's
all
a couple
is.
That are dicks, but that's everywhere. But usually they're cool. They're all. I always treat them with respect. They're delivering material to us. We need them.
They got a job.
They got a job. And I always, you know, ask when I ask them for water to wash my tools and stuff. I always ask them, "Mind if I use your water?" And they're and usually if you're polite to them, they're polite to you. You know what I mean? I have no. They're cool guys. You know, they're cool guys.
Curious.
And it's an important job.
It's a very important job.
Very important.
It's a time sensitive important job. It's
overlooked how important their job is.
100%.
Right, because they're bringing the material.
Yeah.
You know, and if you don't bring the material, and it can be crazy. When you're doing a 2,500-meter pour, you got to have trucks lined up.
I wish more people that are on the roadways would give a little bit more respect to the bigger fucking toys on the roadway.
Yeah, I get the fucking
like, they way. Cut them really fucking close.
I get anytime I see them, I just try to get as far away from possible and give them as much. And if they're signaling, I stay back. And
Let them get in.
Try to wave them in because I get it. They're working.
Yeah.
They're working. Like, then, I'm just driving to work.
For all you civilians that are listening, don't try to play the fucking game of put on your four hazards like a little thank you or a high beam or a little. Don't do that. That's a trucker's thing. Leave it at that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Don't try to become one of them. No. Just give them space and leave it at
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely.
Right? They can't maneuver the same way your fucking Civic can maneuver, right? So don't do that, right?
No, and don't play stupid games with them. You know, if you cut them off, if they can't stop, you're dying. They're not. You know what I mean? They're so running you down and then being like, well, you know.
It's like, it becomes the last scene in Terminator, man.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, 100%. 100%. You know, these truck drivers.
You got to give them a little bit of respect. So they got to navigate through that and shit.
Super important job, man. Yeah. Truck driver. Anything you get anywhere comes to you from a truck.
I remember I was invited to Lafarge's plant.
Yeah, they're the big boys.
Distribution, right?
They're the big boys.
And we got to shoot a bunch of stuff that was going on there. And I was fascinated by the whole assembly of the process, man.
Oh, it's cool.
It's the fucking coolest thing ever.
It's cool.
Computer, like, almost you're like, you're probably on a space station.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the amount of technology that was there just to, like, weigh and get the material and get it all ready. Next truck come in and just go in. And I was like, holy shit, this is legit.
Oh, yeah. They're good bullshitters, though. They're good bullshitters. Well, they got
busted last year for, you know, supplying concrete to terrorists, right? They're trying to fix that. You heard about that?
I did not hear about that.
Look it up.
Oh, wow.
There's that's something to do with Lafarge concrete that was supplied to a terrorist.
Really?
Yeah, and they had to pay a big fine, and they're trying to rebrand themselves like, you know, anti-terrorist. Anti-terrorist concrete. Don't quote me or anything like that. But there was something to do with terrorists and concrete, and they were stuck in the middle of it.
Jesus, that's not a good look, eh? What were they doing?
I have no idea the specifics.
Supplying to like Al-Qaeda?
I don't know what they were doing, but they got their hand in the cookie jar.
Yeah, that's not a good look. for anybody.
So last I had a conversation with them. You know
what's funny? People are still going to buy concrete off. It doesn't matter.
For sure, right? They just hope that it doesn't explode. Because
concrete plants, I'll give it to them. That listen, it's a lot of upkeep. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot of expenses in it. But that's a license to print money, buddy. That's a license to print money.
It's
okay, just
it's gold. You think about
these pours, like I said, I was doing 30,000 meters before the building went up. You know how much money they're making there? And if you're going to a job 2,500 meters, that truck's getting emptied in 5 minutes.
Oh yeah,
right. And two at a pump. We'd have two pumps and two trucks at each pump all day. So you know you're emptying four trucks in 5 minutes. What's a truck? $2,000. $2,000. So there's $8,000 in like 10 minutes.
They're done.
They're getting paid, and the driver just flying back to get more.
Attention homeowners and businesses. Are you looking for top-notch electrical contracting services you can trust? Consider the expert tradesperson behind Effect Electric LTD. They take pride in delivering quality, service, and professional installation on time and on budget. From Kohler generators to main service upgrades or network data installation, they do it all. With years of experience and a commitment to excellence, Carlo and his team at Effect Electric LTD are your go-to professionals for all your electrical and generator needs. Effect Electric LTD is an authorized Kohler home energy generator dealer. Kohler has air-cooled 26 RCA units, the quietest, the most powerful, and exceptionally durable generator with 109 amps max power on liquid propane. Custom color options, camouflage options, and every generator Kohler makes is built to last and is equipped with a commercial-grade engine. Call Effect Electric LTD today at 416-508-7725 or visit them at effectelectricltd.kohlergeneratordealer.com. Let's build something great together. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
That's some serious money.
I remember when I was in Japan and I saw the cutest fucking concrete truck, eh?
Oh, the little ones for the tunnels? Yeah,
it was about the size of maybe a little bigger than a minivan. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a cute.
I heard they're bringing those here, too.
For little small jobs?
Yeah,
I don't even know what size. What would be the cubic in there?
Well,
maybe two?
Well, they have the biggest truck they have is 12 meters, but I don't think they're legal necessarily. I've seen them.
Here?
Yeah, I've seen 12-meter trucks.
12 meters is a really fucking long one. That's big. Ones.
Usually they're 9. And then you don't get a full 9, you get 8. But they charge for 9. You know? But
the games.
Yeah, the games. Yeah, what are you going to do?
It's concrete.
You need it. It's the most used building material in the world.
For now.
Fuck, I hope at least last 18 years so I can retire.
Till the tree huggers come in and start trying to figure out some other shit.
Ah, whatever.
There's all kinds of stuff. There's hemp blocks being made, and there's. I get it. I understand it.
Buddy, concrete's been being used since the Romans thousands of years ago. Why fuck with something that's so good already? You know?
I'm not disagreeing with you, man.
It's a sturdy material. It's used in everything. You know, curbs, sidewalks, foundation.
I guess part of their argument is all the fuel or all the industry that is needed to operate concrete. I get that.
But now you can recycle concrete too, right? Like you can demolish concrete buildings and use that rubble to make new concrete. Yeah. So you can
welcome
recycle
to Toronto. That should be a sign on the population.
You can recycle it.
They tear down everything, man, here.
Yeah. Well,
and then rebuild it again.
It's just the
nobody city, wants to fix anything here.
City of skyscrapers now, man.
Well, city of condo towers now.
Yeah, well, that's come to an end.
Now,
well,
when was the last like building that we're seeing? Commercial building. I guess it's that CIBC
pyramid.
The pyramid pancake one.
Yeah, that one.
Which is almost completed, I think.
I think
it's. But that's still ugly too, man. That's just glass and steel around concrete.
The last real cool looking building, I think, was that, and that wasn't even Toronto. I was in Mississauga, was that Marilyn Monroe building.
Marilyn Monroe.
That's a cool freaking building. Actually, M City, I thought it was ugly. Have you seen that, M City?
I've seen some of them.
It's pretty cool.
I know. They got the jagged floors.
It's pretty cool. It was inventive. It's inventive. It actually, now that it's done, looks pretty cool. When I saw just the skeleton, I was like, oh, that's fucking hideous.
But I compare it to other cities?
Yeah, like
around the world?
Yeah, like Japan or Dubai or something like that. That fucking Burj Khalifa is the coolest shit I've ever seen in my life.
I want to see that one day.
That'd be amazing. I heard they never stop washing the windows there. Because I heard it takes them 4 months to wash the windows there. And then when they're done washing them, they got to wash them again.
I also heard something about the shit. How they're constantly pumping shit out and trucking it out of the city. There's something to that. And then there's also the same. It's interesting you bring that up because I think the base of it is very similar to the way Venice is built. with all the wood piles. They hammered them all into trying to get as far down into the bedrock as possible. The Burj had to do that to begin with and then start your fucking your raft and then your base from that point going up.
Well, you to need keep some it stable. Serious foundation for that building. Like, guys, what is that, 230 stories or something like that?
Ask Tom Cruise, man. He's been up there.
It's massive.
It's fucking huge, man.
It's massive. And they had to build it all curved for the wind to go around it.
Aesthetically, it looks pleasing.
Oh, it's a cool building. Japan, too, has got some beautiful architecture. I'm actually reading a book right now on the great builders of the world. Like, just, it's very interesting. So
far back? What kind of?
Oh, it goes far.
To modern
day? They have a guy, they believe that allegedly invented the column. Okay. Like, that's literally the granddaddy of built.
I'm assuming a Roman?
It was Egyptian.
Egyptian?
It was Egyptian. Yeah.
Latest one I've been getting is guys have been sending me some fucking rabbit hole shit talking about how there's pyramids in the ocean somewhere far away from Egypt.
Like in Atlantis?
I don't know what the fuck. They discovered Atlantis? Some pyramids in much That's bigger than the Great Pyramids.
Really?
And I was like, okay, well, we know about the Mayan pyramids, right? Mm. So there's that, but I don't fucking know. No unions, no hard hats, and the shit got done.
No,
a little bit of slavery.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. That's still going on today.
Well, you know, talk about Burj and Dubai. A lot of it is immigrant.
I heard that was bad there.
And they were dying.
Oh, yeah.
And they weren't counting them as deaths as part of it.
There's no labor law out there.
No, they were all in campers just fucking sitting there.
That's why, you know, unions,
it's not bad here.
Unions are important, man. I know, and a lot of people got a lot of bad shit to say about the union, and I get it. Because is the union perfect? Of course. Of course it's not. What is perfect?
No.
You know, but listen, when they started years ago, you know, the Irish started them. Irish and Scottish.
I remember you telling me that.
Irish started them years ago in the 1800s.
But it's hard to tell an Italian or a European that, right?
They know. Italians know because the Italians work with the Irish.
That's what I mean.
The old Italians, they work with the Irish. So they know. Yeah. But
most people, they don't know.
No, but the Irish, they started them with the Scottish. And it was, you know, they were seeing the bigger picture. They went, these fucking guys are getting rich off us. And we're dying. And this was when they were dying. In the 1800s, you know, they were building buildings. They were accounting for a death a floor or something like that. And that was just like, you know, oh, Bob fell off the building yesterday. Oh, well, you know.
Got another position open.
And we'll get his brother in here, you know, and that was it. So, you know, it was important for unions to come in to get our fair share and incorporate health and safety and overtime and all this stuff. And then, you know, just give us rights as workers, you know. Everything we got in today's workforce was somehow brought to us by a union, you know, overtime, statutory holidays, sick pay, 100%. All that shit, you know, benefits, no racial discrimination, you know what I mean? No racial discrimination, you know, I think, I research labor stuff all the time, like the history of labor laws and stuff like that, and I'm pretty sure it was the labor's union that first, they might have been one of the first unions that first started letting black people in their union.
Probably.
You know? And it's funny, but it's not funny, but sad. But apparently, I heard the Irish people were scared when that happened.
Because they were going to lose their jobs?
They were going to lose their job. Because you have to think, when black people were slaves, which is horrible, obviously.
Yeah.
But Irish people were doing all the shit jobs that nobody wanted to do. So they went, holy fuck, we're going to have to compete with these guys now because now they can work.
It's true.
So they were nervous, right? Because Irish people got shit on huge. Their whole lives
a lot of their history.
Yeah, they're under back. British rule. I know. Getting fucked. Even we're talking in the 70s and 80s, it was not good relations between fucking, you know, I'm sure you've heard of Bloody Sunday and all that stuff.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like, even when I was there, I was walking around neighborhoods and I'm still seeing buildings with bullet holes in them. Mm-hmm. And they kept all that shit there, right?
And yeah, it was not good relations between Ireland and
Britain. The British, you know.
Well, Britain.
Sometimes people point a finger at Portuguese, and I was like, dude, that's 500 years ago, and I'm pretty sure I had nothing to do with it.
Yeah, but I also, you ever hear about how Portugal supplied both sides in World War II?
No.
You never heard about that?
No.
I don't know what exactly they supplied. I don't know if it was food or arms, but they were supplying to both sides, America and
So they were friendly to both?
Yeah. That's what I heard.
You never hear about Portugal being...
No, they weren't involved, but they were supplying stuff.
They were making money.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's kind of what's going on right now.
Yeah, of course. I'm not saying
you
whatever.
Got certain groups of people.
It happens. They just took advantage of a situation. You know, what can you
with
do?
Roth and ends with child.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That apparently history they were supplying. They're supplying both sides.
Absolutely.
It's. I guess if you're a gambling person,
yep.
you benefit
that's
one way.
That's fucking win-win. You're not losing. But
that's history.
That's history.
I didn't know the Portuguese. I kind of
so
makes
I don't know
sense.
The full story. It was my friend who's Portuguese who told me that. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah, I swear to God, man.
They kept their economy going. They weren't being attacked.
No.
They weren't a part of the war.
No. And Portugal's always known as a smaller, like, not, even now, they're not like a rich country. You know what I mean?
No.
So they're whatever. But they're great people, the Portuguese. I love the Portuguese. You know, I grew up in a small community that was a lot of Portuguese. And they're all my best friends Portuguese for 27 years. Great
Sometimes
guy.
I find it funny that people remind me that they're Portuguese to get on the show. Like they'll send me a message.
Yeah.
And then they'll kind of inject a little bit of a Portuguese comment or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, by the way, I'm a pork chop, right?
Yeah.
And it's it's not an automatic access to get on the show.
Of
it's not. It's just if you say something that's interesting about construction and when I speak to you and you're a likable person, you get on the fucking show.
The funniest thing about the Portuguese that I love is that they're super patriotic people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Super patriotic. But also, most of the people they hate the most are other Portuguese.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. I mean? That guy's a fucking asshole from that part of Portugal that I don't like. But, like,
and
but you love being Portuguese.
That
I love it.
Yeah, the family stories that have been altered so many thousands of ways that you don't know if any ounce of it is truth.
Yeah.
But there's just hatred there.
Yeah.
Bottom line. That's all it is, man.
Yeah.
Like, but that's Italians the same way. Like they're like that all the time.
And the
right?
Italians and Portuguese love each other too. Even though they say they don't.
No, they get along.
Right? Because, you know, the Italians, like going one step further from how the Irish started the unions, the Italians were smart. They saw even 10 steps ahead of that and goes, not only am I not getting my fair share, I'm going to open my own company and fucking take it to the... What is this guy? This guy's no more than me. What, I know how to do the work. I'll figure out the business as I go. And then they got the Portuguese to come and be their workers. And now there's Portuguese guys own companies too. Don't get me wrong. But the Italians, I don't care anybody say, Italians got the chokehold on the construction.
Bear, if you had the opportunity to go back in time, is there another time in construction that you would have joined in instead of the time that you joined in?
Oh, yeah.
When?
50s.
Because there was so many cool fucking things
fucking
being built.
And back then, man,
everybody
could go be a construction worker and your wife could stay at home and it was no problem.
It's true.
And you could put your kids through college and buy a house, no problem.
You were buying a car that was $5,000, a house that was $50,000.
And there was so much work. So much work.
Everything was being built right after World War II.
Yeah, you could tell this guy to fuck off and go work for his buddy the next day. You know, it was... And the only problem then is the health and safety wasn't as good.
Safety was garbage.
Safety was garbage, but that was a booming time. The 50s after the war?
If you leave today with the safety knowledge that you have and you go back then to work there, you'd probably fucking be a huge corporation.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I don't know. 50s would have been fucking solid, eh?
Solid.
In Canada, buddy. In the States, anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere. After the war, it was a boom. After the war, everybody was killing it after World War II, man.
And then your kids would have followed easily.
Absolutely.
Kids are not following it these days.
Well, you know.
But also the parents don't want the kids to come into it.
No, I mean, listen, if my son wants to follow in my footsteps, I'd be proud. But do I want him to? No, you want better for your kids.
See what I mean?
You want better for
your
kids.
I know, I get it.
You want better for your kids because, like I said, you don't want your kids. My parents said the same to me. Okay, when I dropped out and had a few shit jobs and started working construction, my dad gave me the option to leave and go back to school. When I was 16, I had been working for like 6-8 months construction, busting my balls. My dad said, you want to stop?
He came to me
and said, you want to go back to school? He says, you can quit right now. Go back to school. I'll pay your way. No problem.
Why? Did he see that you weren't liking it or?
He didn't see I wasn't liking it. He just didn't want me to work that hard. My dad did a physical job all his life. So did his dad. So did my mom's father.
That's true.
They all did hard labor their whole lives and they see what it did to them and they don't want their kids to do that. You know, they want more for you. They want you to become a teacher or a cop.
But look at the alternative today. Nobody's working a hard job.
No.
Nobody's running towards a hard job.
That's why the trades are paying now, finally.
Not enough in my eyes.
Not enough, but it's coming. Remember you talked about your buddy, the Terrazzo guy or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
I bet you that guy can name his fucking price. Because he goes, oh, it's either me or nobody.
He does, yeah.
Yeah, good for him.
But the work is scarce.
Yeah, because nobody wants to do it anymore because there's just not enough.
So like, whatever, if it's a church or if it's a commercial building or some sort of location, they might, depends on their budget, depend on what they have. Yeah. They might push it off to the next quarter or the next year. Yeah.
I'd love to meet that guy.
He's solid.
I bet you he's below sell.
He's solid. Talent,
old Italian guy? Yeah, solid. I bet you those
guys he's like about this wide. Like
oh, yeah. The tank? Little short guy?
Maybe,
or?
No, he's not sure. He's maybe 5'5", 5'6".
Okay, so not average maybe average or whatever.
Height. Average Italian
but
height.
Just built like a brick shit
I never
house,
really
I
met
you.
A tall Italian, eh?
No.
Maybe one or
no,
two.
No, they're not a tall people.
But then there's probably the wife or the...
Yeah.
Somebody in the family tree is not Italian. That's how they got
tall. Yeah.
Three-way the world. These little puppies, I'm speaking from experience. I've actually installed these and I love these. Three-way prefabricated inside drywall corner. The first one-piece solution for perfect, crisp corners every time. With three-way, you'll improve your quality, save on labor, and cut down on time. Traditional methods require three tapes, lots of sanding, and high skill. But with three-way corners, they install in just a fraction of the time with fewer steps. It is adjustable for any angle, reinforced to cover gaps, and designed to blend seamlessly into the corner. Say goodbye to pesky touch-ups and hello to flawless finishes. Try three-way today and revolutionize your drywall game. Perfect corners every time. To purchase or check out some how-to videos to see the installs in action, visit threeway.ca or connect with them at 306-514-3768 or drop them an email at threewaytheworld@gmail.com. Connect with me, TCL, and stop by the studio and get a free pack on us for anyone to try. And trust me, I'm telling you, you'll love it. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
Well, a lot of people, that's like the Sicilians, why they're dark, right? Because they were conquered by the Moors from Africa years ago, right? Yep.
You just can't tell that to the Italians.
They get mad. Yeah.
They get upset about
they
that.
They get mad.
They don't want that part of history being reminded of.
They get mad. They get mad, right? But... They're cool too. Italians are cool. I love the Italians. They're cool. They came here with fuck all, buddy. Those guys just
lots,
with a,
listen,
just with
lots,
good work.
Man,
ethic.
The creations like no. And nowadays there's other cultures that are coming here.
Yeah,
and they're struggling as well. Yeah. They're leaving shit that was back then, and now they're trying to make do here. Yeah. But unfortunately, Canada isn't what it used to be.
No.
It's very fucking expensive to buy a car, to go to school, to buy a house, to maintain a house. The taxes were fucking being taxed to fucking death.
Well, that's what this guy I worked for. Again, I won't mention his name.
But nope. No names.
He's fucking solid guy. I really like him. I only just started working for him this year a little bit. So I was just catching shifts with him here and there. And he was telling me, like, this fucking tax is out of control. He goes, buddy, when I was a finisher in the 80s, I was doing a lot of hours.
I would
clear 1,500 a week. You know what that was in the 80s? He goes, you did five of those weeks, you could buy a brand new truck.
Yeah.
He goes, now what do you need? You need to work a full year to buy a truck, and you can't because you can't save it all. He goes, in the 80s, you know what kind of money that was?
We were killing it in the 80s. I know.
We're killing it.
You paid off your house easily within 5 years.
Easy. I know. Easy. That's why a lot of these old guys who lived through that, the Italians, they're killing it. They're living in Woodbridge with beautiful houses, and good for them. But, you know,
they worked hard.
They worked hard.
They made their deals.
Absolutely. They worked hard. I get it. Not taking anything away from them. They were just in a good era to make money.
I would love to start a trade school with all these old guys, eh?
Oh, that'd be great. I know a guy.
I've got concrete with Vinny at fucking 10 o'clock. Yeah, if I don't show up on time, he's actually going to smack me.
Well, when I first joined the union back in 2009, we had a guy like that. He was an old, he must be dead now. He was like 70. He was like 70 then. Like 16 years ago. Shit. Or maybe even older.
Shit. You never know. He might be in his 90s. He might be.
But that guy was hilarious. Just old Italian guy and still like the giver. But, you know, he was old. Like, he was old. Like, he'd been doing this, you know, probably in the 60s or something like that, you know? So, but he's still, and, you know, he'd bust everybody's balls and and all that. It was hilarious, you know? And he was a fun guy. And, like, I like the old timers, man. Most of them are really cool. And they're all super fountains of knowledge. Like, those are guys you just want to be a sponge around.
Yeah.
You know, you just want to be a sponge around because they got so much to offer just it's little. That's what it is. It's little things, little tricks, and they know them all.
And you got to see it on the job site.
Yeah, but even young guys, man. Like I have a buddy I work with. I did work with from. He's Chilean.
Okay.
And he's my age, but he's been doing concrete far longer than me, like 20 years. But just concrete, just flat work.
Came here from Chile.
No, I believe he was born here, but both his parents are Chilean. Yeah, but he speaks Spanish, everything like that. And, like, he was, like, a mentor to me, man, even though he was my age. He taught me a lot, that guy.
Because he knew shit.
Because he knew a lot. And he knew a lot of little tricks, and he showed me a lot of little things, man. And he's a hell of a cement finisher for being a younger guy.
Like, did he bring empanadas to luncheon as well?
No.
He didn't bring empanadas? No?
No. All right, no. What did he bring? He would bring some. He must have brought some. He's good, man. He's a solid.
Then you get the munchie cake, which just has like a peanut butter and jelly jam sandwich.
To be honest, I bring nothing to lunch. I don't eat lunch.
You don't eat lunch at all?
Not really. No.
Really?
No, water.
Slows you down?
Yeah, water. I'll have a coffee, and then I eat big when I go home. I fast kind of at work.
It's the kids of today that are ordering Uber to the job site.
No, I don't do that shit. I'll bring a lunch sometimes. And my wife, God bless her, will make my lunch every single day if I ask her. But I told her to stop because I was bringing it home. Because I wouldn't eat at work because I don't stop. So, like, I wouldn't eat and then the lunch. And then, you know, I want to drive home so I'm not sitting eating my lunch
before you're coming home for dinner.
Yeah, and I'm going home for dinner. And then my wife says, I made you this beautiful lunch. You didn't eat it. And I said, fuck. So I told her, honey, don't worry about the lunch. I'll bring a big jug of water. I'll have a couple smokes and I'm good.
Yeah, but don't the other guys stop for lunch? And
no,
nobody. They don't stop for lunch either?
There's no stopping for lunch.
Not even holding lunch one hand and then still traveling with the other?
Yeah, you could do that quickly. Yeah, you could do that. Or we'll have a coffee. We'll get a take 12 of coffee and have a 5-minute coffee and then back at
it. Coffee and a smoke?
Coffee and a smoke. Yeah, I'm the one who had to wash my fingers. They're getting so disgusting. I don't know, a guy who has the cigarette just constantly out of the mouth all day. I've become a real bad chain smoker, man. It's such a bad habit, but...
But as long as you recognize that it's an issue.
Yeah, it's not good, but it's just, I fucking love it so much. You know, there's just something about smoking that I just... My whole family was smokers, though. My mom, my dad, all my aunts and uncles, my grandfather.
It's never bothered me, the smell of it, because it reminds me of my dad.
Yeah, your dad was a big smoker.
My dad was a big smoker, but then he quit cold turkey in his later years, right?
That was my dad, too. He quit when my son was born, 10 years ago.
Yeah, mine did the same thing. But unfortunately, he got other health problems as a result.
Oh, yeah. That never goes away. They say all that shit, it goes away. No way. The damage is done. My grandfather smoked... till he was 72, and then I think he died 2 years later. And he was a heavy, and he started smoking when he was 6, I think.
Really?
Yeah,
mine was in his teens.
Well, he died 20 years ago, and he was 72 at the time. So he grew up in the 30s. You think they gave a fuck you're buying cigarettes when you were 6 years old in the 30s?
No.
I don't even think there was a law that you couldn't buy cigarettes that age.
Fuck, I remember being in my 20s, and I had fucking kids asking me to buy smokes for them, and I'm like, dude, what's wrong with you, man?
Did you do it?
I did it a few times.
Or fishing for booze. Remember that when you're 14 years old, sitting outside the LCBO? Hey, man, I'll give you $10 to buy me that bottle of whiskey.
The days of me faking my ID and the days of me trying to get into places where you're not allowed to get into.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, today, you can fucking buy fentanyl here and there. Anywhere you want. And I'm like, what the
fuck?
That's
talking about abuse. That's a real bad one.
Major fucking problem.
That's a real bad one. And I feel so bad for these guys that do it because they hurt themselves. That's what happens. They hurt themselves and they get on the Percocet or whatever and they need it because they got to go to work and their back's fucking killing them all the time. So they take the Percocet and then that's just masking it. And then they're hurting their back worse. Then they need more Percocet. And so on. That's just a snowball effect, right? It's sad, man.
I wonder who you're going to vote for in the next election, if it's going to be China, Mexico, or the PCs or Liberal.
You know, I voted Liberal last time. I'm kicking myself in the pants for it.
I'm saying that because there's evidence that China was and is, and Mexican cartels are in Canada.
Yeah.
It's fucking scary, man.
Yeah, I believe.
This is something that you see on Netflix that's coming out of fucking Narcos, right?
I believe.
It's scary.
Like, you know, there's drugs
everywhere.
Never
in your life would you have thought that Canada would have been like this epicenter of shit coming in, man.
Well, you got to think, man. Drugs are the only thing that's a multi-billion dollar a year industry with zero advertising. There's no advertising.
No promoting, no nothing.
No nothing. Just word of mouth. And people love drugs. I love drugs. You know, I don't do drugs anymore, but I love drugs. They're great.
It's there.
They're so great, they ruin your life. That's how great drugs are. That's how great they are. They ruin your whole fucking life. That's how amazing they make you feel. And it's sad, and it's a big problem, and I've seen a lot of people ruin their lives with addiction and lose everything or die, you know, and it's horrible. And it's usually goes hand in hand with mental health, which is another fucking epidemic in this country that people are now finally is coming to light. Like, I think I told you this last time, you know, like the number one people for suicide are males my age in the building trades.
Yeah, I know.
You know, that's fucked up.
Something about 70 some odd percent.
Well, males are number one for suicide already, but it's people in my trades. Age in trades because it's such an unsure life. You're always chasing it. You know, I've fucking worked for so many companies, I lost track, you know, and because this company runs out of money, okay, I got to find another company that's got work.
You're constantly worried about the next paycheck.
You're worried. I stress all the time. And my wife, she gets it now. She gets it more now, especially with how it is right now. But she sometimes doesn't get, why are you worried? And I said, but you don't understand. You had a 9-to-5 job where you go to the same building every day. She doesn't work now, my wife, but where you go to the same job every day.
It's different.
And you don't have to worry about work being there. I got to worry about work being there. And now she gets it. She's a very understanding woman, my wife. I'm blessed to have my wife. She's my rock. You know, I'd be lost without my fucking wife.
Well, they say that the choice of your spouse is the biggest decision that you'll make. Absolutely. That'll either make your life or break your life.
Yeah, absolutely. And I fucking hit the lottery with my wife. My wife takes care of me, takes care of my family, takes care of the house, does everything. I just have to go out there and make money. She takes care of everything, fucking appointments, fucking everything.
Including you.
Make sandwiches. She's at home, she's at home right now probably doing dishes and shit while I'm here shooting the shit with you. You know, I'm blessed to have my wife, you know.
That's the biggest decision that anybody, whether you're in the trades
or not,
but anybody can make, right?
For your life.
And don't do it on face value and just think, oh yeah, let me just get the pretty one.
No.
And I'm like,
no, dude.
Looks disappear real fucking fast, man. Looks
fade. It's personality, man.
And character, personality.
It's insane. But you know what? When you love the person's personality, I don't think anybody in the world is more beautiful than my wife.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
That's how you got to look at it.
Because she's my wife and I love her, right?
So how long you guys been married?
11 years this year. We've been together 14 years. But funny story with my wife, we were only together a couple of years. She got pregnant, and I had a bit of a shotgun wedding. So she was 7 months pregnant.
How did that happen?
The same way it happens to everybody, you know what I mean? But she gave me the old, you want this kid to have your name, you better be putting a fucking ring on it. And I said, okay. You know, and that was it. I think I was going to marry her anyways. It just fast tracked.
So there's no regrets.
No. It just fast tracked the process. That's all.
Are you scared about the future of construction, Bear? You got a few more years still in it before you get out.
Sometimes, yeah, because you don't see a lot of youth coming in to my trade, especially.
You got a hard trade, man. Concrete.
Yeah. You don't see a lot of youth coming in. Like we have at my company now one guy under 30.
That's it.
Yeah. One guy
under 30. Out of how many employees?
Not a lot. We're a smaller company, 20 guys. But only everybody else.
One guy.
Yeah, everybody else is mid-30s to 40, you know?
That's scary.
Yeah, and he's not even like low, like he's like late 20s, you know what I mean? Like he's almost 30, I think.
And he's showing promise?
Oh, he's good.
He's good.
Fucking solid. Oh, yeah. Hard worker, man.
So great, he's going to be there.
Right. Yeah, he's good. No, he's...
But don't these kids realize that if you get into your trade, that specific one, it's right. Money-making trade.
Fucking right it is. But lucrative. Lucrative.
You can actually buy and own a house in a short period of time.
Easy. And if you get married, if you want to hustle, your wife doesn't have to work. You know what I mean?
You can have take a family care and take care absolutely. Of everything.
And that's provide. That's one of the best things... Listen, I'm all for women want to be independent and stuff like that. You want to work, no problem. But listen, my wife was working, and when she quit work and started just being the stay-at-home mom thing, she loves it. She's like, I like this way more than working. You know, I can take care of my kids. I get to spend less time with my kids. I get to keep a clean house.
You get to raise your kids.
You get to raise your kids. She loves it. And I love it for her. And I have no fucking problem, you know. I give her all my money. I don't give
too
a shit.
Too many people letting their kids being raised by iPads, social media, other people.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that sometimes too. You know, the iPads and the shit like that. I didn't have that when I was a kid as much. You know, I was like the first generation of kids that had a computer in their house. So you weren't there because you're what, 10 years older than me?
Yeah. Well, no, how old are you?
37.
I'm 53.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, you're a little bit more. Yeah.
But
yeah, computer to us was a big deal.
When I was like,
I still had wood on the TVs.
Yeah, I did. I had the ping TV, man. The one where you had the knob ping to start up. I had that shit too.
Adjust the ears.
But I was, you know, I remember I went to a show, I think a technology show with my dad before we got a computer. And they were like, in 5 years, everyone's going to have a computer at your house. My dad's like fuck. And then my dad bought a computer. You know what I mean? And we had the computer room. With
did he do like the typing?
Yeah. My dad. Yeah, my dad's a pretty smart guy. He just...
They always have an awkward way of using the query pad or they use... It's just...
My kids are like amazing and they're 10 and 6. But you got to let them do it because it's so... Listen, writing's done. Mm-hmm. Writing, you don't need to be able to write anymore. You can type everything. Or cursive. Remember cursive? Where's that? That's out the fucking window. You don't need that anymore. You don't.
No.
You don't even need to know how to spell good anymore.
It spells everything
for you. It's spell check.
But still, I never want to fucking spell duck. Okay?
Yeah.
It's never duck.
Or whatever, some other fucking onomatopoeia or something. You know? I'm not a bad speller, but I have fat fingers, so I hit more than one key at once.
They need to make a contractor's iPhone that's probably a little smaller than an iPad.
Yeah.
But you can still fit it in the back pocket or something.
Fucking hand, guys.
Put it into the vest or something like that.
That was my grandfather used to have when he got a phone. He used to have the pencil by the phone to press the numbers. His fingers were too big to press one button at once.
Oh, he was doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
He was a monster of a man.
I met a guy recently on a ICF job in Hamilton there. And we were talking. Big ICF job there.
ICF?
Insulated concrete forms.
Oh, insulated concrete forms. Yeah. I thought you were talking about company ICF.
No.
Insulation. Yeah, ICF. Yeah, that's cool. ICF.
It was a big mansion. It was we entered through the parking garage. The runway. Yeah. The ramp into the...
Yeah, I've been on a few of those.
The basement is all... It's going to be the parking pad.
Yeah.
The basement, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, we were talking. All of a sudden, he started calling some of his guys over. And one guy came by. A little shorter than me. Stocky. And he takes his glove off. And he shakes my hand. And I swear... You still got your gloves on.
Yeah,
It was fucking mixed, man. I was like, holy shit, man.
Oh, yeah. That's the old...
That's old school concrete. Yeah, like,
the old man I used to work with. Fuck. He's like in his 70s, and what a grip that guy... And he was like 5 foot nothing.
I know.
But his hand was like a just sausage.
You would think that they would break your bone.
Oh, yeah. He was a monster of a... What a great guy. I want to bring him on here so bad. I called
him.
I called him. He's shy. I called him and I was like, you got to come on, man. And he's like, I don't know. You know, I was like, come on. I was like, I'll go on with you. He's like, okay, I'm going to think about it. So I'm going to really try to push him. And then the other super I had too, he's great. Italian guy.
Old school guy as well.
He'd be great on
get
the show.
Get them both on.
People would love him.
Yeah.
Yeah, both of these guys.
These young kids want to hear these guys,
man. They're cool, man.
They have lots of lessons to share.
Lots of stories.
They won't be offended.
I'm pretty sure one of them, the finisher, worked on the CN Tower, I think. I think so.
Seriously?
I think so. I think
you got to get him on, man.
Yeah, he's cool as hell.
I got to talk to him about that fucking thing.
He's a cool guy. He's got stories for days, buddy. For days.
See what I mean? Project that you would have been proud of that you like.
Oh, that's a project.
I was on that crew, right? Yeah,
that's a project.
Same with the Sky Dome. Attention contractors and construction professionals. Do you feel like your expenses are way too high? Imagine cutting your spending by 28%. At Schooley Mitchell, they dig deep to help you save on essential expenses that could be impacting your bottom line. Their risk-free analysis allows you to concentrate on your trade while they find those savings for you. Don't let extra expenses keep you from achieving the success you deserve. Reach out today to schedule your risk-free analysis and unlock your savings. Find them at www.schooleymitchell.com/office/AEGIUGGIO/about or reach out to them at erica.jugio@schooleymitchell.com. This message is proudly supported by the Construction Life.
Hell,
I'm trying to think of what else would have been like. There's not all the condo towers are pretty straightforward.
They're cool though. It's cool being up that high, man. You know, it's cool. You get a real view, man. I've been downtown on some high ones. You know, where's the one I went on? It was pretty high. Lakeshore and Park Lawn. There was one there. It was pretty high.
Lakeshore and Park Lawn. Oh,
yeah. There. Yeah.
They put a bunch of cut towers
Jane there. And 7 there.
Yeah.
Transit City. I was
now
there.
Now you got a bunch of towers going around Yorkdale. Bunch of towers going around Sherway.
I think the highest I went was like 50-something stories. I didn't go much higher than that.
In open area?
Yeah.
Just guardrails on them?
Yeah.
That's a little fucked. Dead of winter or summer?
I done both. The winter sucks.
Fucking wind, eh?
The winter, especially when you're there late at night finishing off floor, and it's like 11 o'clock at night, and it is just freezing, and you're going down to the heaters just, and then get back up there again and hit it again, then warm up in the heaters. Fuck.
Do they let you know what the calculations are, like how much more wind is up there?
Or the crane operator usually knows,
so they get an idea of what
gusts
and the temperature.
They keep an eye on that because they have to. Well, they have the say on whether they can stop. I had a fucking crane almost collapse on me a couple years ago.
I've been trying to get a crane up on the show, eh?
Yeah, they're interesting guys.
They don't want to be on the show. They don't want to be on the mic.
Really?
I tried to get a retired one. I did a job for a friend. I actually helped out a friend because he wanted to do the job, but he wanted some knowledge, right? So he wanted to build a built-in in his house, right? Mm-hmm. Then I got to know him really well with his family, and then I was introduced to his dad, and then I found out that he was a crane op, recently retired crane op, mm-hmm. and then I did his sister's job, mm-hmm. and then I got along with the old man. The old man always came by, and then we always had conversations, and his wife always brought coffees over, old school coffee.
Yeah.
And then I got along, and then all of a sudden I started asking, like, and he goes, nope.
Was he a tower operator or mobile?
Tower,
yeah. They're
they don't want to talk.
No, it's funny because I've met a couple who some of them are really quiet, but then when they get out of the cab, like I used to have this operator, nice guy from Hamilton, and he's retired now too, I think. And he'd be quiet in the cab all day. Like people would talk to him on the radio and he'd silence. But when he got out of the cab, it was like he was starved to talk to somebody.
Chatty.
So he'd chat with me at the end of the day before I go home. And he'd be talking my ear. I'm like, okay, I want to go home, you know. But he wants somebody to talk to because he's been
all day
cab.
Long. He's on the radio.
He's in a cab. I know. Not talking. It's a tough job, man. Yeah, you're not physically killing yourself, but like,
no, it's a
super high stress. Super high stress. People's lives are in your hand, and you're in literally something the size of a bathroom all day. You know, pissing in buckets and shit. Yeah, they do that.
And if you got, I know they do that.
Yeah, they piss in jugs.
Gatorade,
and
I get it.
Yeah,
I know.
They piss in jugs and stuff. You know, like that's a tough gig, man. And like, you know, and super responsible. Like you got to show up. You don't show up. That's the job's not running.
There's no job running.
The job's not running.
And you got concrete on the sway.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, you got to deal with bad weather.
Oh yeah, it's super stress. Yeah, I couldn't do it. No way I could do that.
Good money though.
Oh, damn right. Yeah.
Like stupid
good
money.
And they deserve it. They deserve it. They literally very important job on a high rise, especially. They want production with that crane. They don't want to see that crane stop moving. You know, so they're super hats off to them. It's just
I would love to get one of them on the show so I can just
I wouldn't mind hearing their opinions on things and stuff like that. Because I've met a few that are really cool. And then a couple have been dicks, you know, but that's like
everything. Yeah, but that's construction.
Yeah, that's like
any trade. You can say that to any trade.
The only thing I ever is during a concrete pour, some of them will like not want to listen to you, like where to put the bucket and stuff like that. And you're like, dude, we're pouring the concrete down here. Like, let us do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll open the bucket. I don't give a fuck. Like, usually swampers do, but I'll do that too. Yeah. I'm pretty good at that. So, like, but, you know, it's just sometimes like, oh, I don't want to go there. And it's like, I understand you don't want to because it's hard with the crane. But, like, dude, you have to pour it the way we want. You know, there's a system. Like, you have to create pathways for machines. You can't just pour randomly all over the place.
What's the evolution of a crane op? Are they trained? How are they? They're not.
So they're a swamper first.
First.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
They're a swamper first for a while, and then they get seat time slowly, and then eventually they become.
That's how it works.
See, I would be a mobile operator, a mobile crane operator. That'd be cool. Not being up high and just being on the ground.
Yeah.
That'd be.
I met a nice guy on the job that we're doing in Campbellville there. Yeah. Cuban guy. Super nice guy.
Yeah.
And we got talking for a little bit because the concrete was late.
Yeah.
He was there on time. Everybody else is there on time. The crew, everybody, we're all ready to go, rock and roll. And then concrete's late.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had a good 2.5 hours of just shooting the shit.
Oh, that's cool.
And I'm like, this ain't fucking good. Then the guys boogied.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They still got it done within the time that they said they would get it done.
Yeah.
But that 2.5 hour lull, that just it yeah. killed everybody's spirit because everybody was ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, well, you have to understand with high rise, not so much, but if you're working for a strictly floor finishing company, like that's just doing floors, they budget everything for 8 hours. You're supposed to pour the floor. The overtime finishers.
And finishing?
No, not finishing
goes back.
Finishing, they're always getting overtime.
Yeah, of course.
You know,
yeah.
You have, if you want to be a finisher, you got to love overtime.
They were there until 1 o'clock in the morning finishing.
Oh, yeah. That's not even a long shift.
I know,
guys.
I felt bad.
I took a bit of sabbatical last year and wasn't finishing that much, but I've done 80 hours in 5 days.
Jeez.
Man, I've done 20.
It's all the finishing.
Yeah, I think the longest shift I ever did was 25 hours. And then slept a few hours and did another shift.
Are you thinking straight when you're like operating the trowel?
No,
like,
you're mangled. Yeah, you're mangled. It's like it's sad. It's like you're impaired kind of, you know? Like if I have to drive, like I'll sleep. Like I'll sleep in my car before I drive. Too dangerous. Yeah, I'll sleep in my car before I drive. And like, usually bosses are good. Like you'll tell them, man, I was there 25 hours. Like they'll be like, okay, just show up late or something, you know?
But are you worried about the finish the next day? Cause you're not exactly sure how good it turned out.
Well, one finisher told me once you start finishing past 12 hours, the quality starts going down. Did you get tired?
How does it drop down per hour? Does it dramatically start to drop?
I don't know.
Per
it depends. Hour? Cause I've seen some fucking guys that finishers and especially guys who just finish, like all place too, but there's guys who just want to finish. They don't want to put on rubber boots anymore.
Yeah.
They want to just finish. Those guys to do hours, I seen guys sleep in their car 4 or 5 days in a row. Yeah. Just machines.
They just get up and look at it.
Just go sleep in the car. Okay. Go sleep in the car 2-3 hours. Okay. Back at work. Oh yeah. Animals. Yeah. They're hardworking guys and work hard. You know, I work with this guy, British guy, and I seen him fucking do that. Sleep in his car 4 days in a row and fucking give her and not be, he'll
get it done.
Yeah. And I would go home and I'd see him the next day and I'd be like, did you go home? No, I slept in my cargo box. Tough man. Tough man. He taught me a lot too.
You think those guys will ever be replaced by a machine? You just drop it on the floor and just a robot does it?
Nah.
You got to feel it.
Too advanced, man. You know how many variables are in concrete and how much stuff you have to do in concrete?
A robot won't know.
They would take... It could happen, but like we're talking 100 years from now, maybe. Maybe. There's so many variables in concrete. By then
they're pouring a slab that probably just self-levels itself.
Yeah, well, they have that, I think, already, but it's like $600 a meter or something. It's like self-finishing concrete, I heard, or something like that. But $600 a meter. So for
concrete or not self-leveling material?
Not self-leveling material. I heard self-leveling, like self-finishing concrete.
It's got a self-finishing concrete?
But $600 a meter times that. So you're paying $7,000 for one truck. That's pretty crazy.
So you're basically four times more?
Four times, yeah. That's a lot of money.
It's the moment that the labor becomes less than that?
Yeah.
Or more than that?
Yeah, they might.
Equal, then that's
when I could see concrete going the way, like you said about your buddy in Terrazzo. Eventually, they're just going to run out of guys. And then it'll be really funny because it'll be like, I heard the bricklaying is like that now too. Like they're begging guys to come out of retirement.
For sure.
They're begging guys to come out of retirement.
Nobody doing stonework anymore.
No, like actual stone masonry. Carving,
mason, keystone, all that.
And that's a fucking art.
Here in Canada, that shit's dead.
Yeah, that's an art. That's like absolute.
Over there, Ireland, UK, everybody there, they fucking do that.
That's a majestic fucking art, man. Doing actual stone
masonry. I wish they would teach it here.
Well, I think they still have local two. I think does that.
They teach it.
I think so. Local, because local two is the Masons Union. Like that's a brick. So I know 183, I believe, has bricklayers too. But I think they're more like bricklayers and prefabricated stone.
So you're saying local two?
I believe local two is the Masons.
So the numbers are based off of how soon or how far back they started, right? Isn't that the case?
I don't know how that. I know my local is local 506, but we're older than 183. 506 is like over 100 years old, man. 506 started in 1919.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's old. Yeah. 506 is fucking old.
I didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah. 506. 183 got bigger than 506, but 506 is the old one. Yeah. 506. I think 183 started in the 50s or 60s. Because it used to be 506 had everything.
Well, 506 is what trades?
ICI. So, but it's a multiple sectors. It has cement finishing, mason tending, waterproofing, cutting and coring, formwork, general laborers, trade show workers. What else?
What does 183 have?
183 is pretty much everything residential. So houses like, and high rise and bridges and tunneling. But 183 is fucking massive, dude.
Mm.
183 has like 80,000 members. They're the biggest
construction. Canada and US?
No, just Canada.
Just Canada?
Yeah. 183 is the biggest construction local in North America.
Holy shit.
Yeah, they're a monster, dude, 183.
What's 506? How many members?
Oh, we only have like 10,000.
Wow.
9, 10. Oh, yeah. 183 is just huge. Like, huge, huge, huge. Well, you think every subdivision, these 1,500 home subdivisions, the foundation guys are 183. The framers are 183. The guys doing the concrete drains are 183. The guys doing the tile are 183. The guys doing the finish work are 183. All the general laborers on site are 183. I'm not sure about the roofers. The roofers might be 183. The siding guys are 183. The whole fucking site is 183. You think those sites, you could have like fucking 500 guys on or more. And they're all 183. It's a huge. 183 is massive.
Fuck.
Massive. Like, dude, that 80,000 members, they are generating serious income, that union. Serious income. You know?
Did things change when the politicians got involved with the unions? Because they kind of have to feed each other, projects course, coming up.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, conservatives seem to be more on board with unions now than they used to be. You know, like,
I don't know about liberals will never union.
No, liberals were the more union. The liberals and the NDP were more pro union. The conservatives weren't as much. But now you see Doug Ford coming to our union hall and shit like that. He's talking about it at 183 and stuff like that.
Ford is not a conservative. Ford is wherever the money goes.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
It's listen, like, you know, unions get a bad rap, right? Because we all know union is fucking lazy and blah 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 blah. You know what I mean? Buddy, I've worked my ass off at union.
No shit, I'm not doubting that.
In construction, there's none of that shit where it's like your job's safe. I see guys get fired by break time.
Really?
Oh, yeah. If you're not producing, you're not good, they'll say, yeah, it's okay, buddy, hit the fucking bricks. And you know, and the union, now they realize you're getting paid good money. You got to produce. So if he could file a grievance or call, or, you know, they fucking fire me. But, you know, if the company says, yeah, but he was fucking the dog all day, the union usually will be like, the hell you want me to do? You're getting paid good money. This guy says you're fucking around all day. How am I supposed to back you up, you know?
Can't defend that.
No.
How about we just work?
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? But the unions are good because they said the unions are good for setting a standard.
Yeah.
Setting a standard.
And everybody non-union always looked up to that standard. Yeah. And then they always try to compare the same rates.
Yeah, and the non-union benefits from the union.
Exactly.
Because, you know, we're getting X amount of dollars. Well, if you're working for a smaller non-union, you can say, well, I could just go join the union and make this. You need to pay me more.
Yeah.
And then the company will pay them more because of the union. So if we didn't have the union, I'd be scared to see how it was. I think it would be worse.
It's going to be an interesting landscape in the next little while. We're going to see. I know that a lot of contracts are coming up and shit.
I hope so. It's bad out there right now.
It is bad out there, right?
Really bad.
But it my worry is how many people are leaving construction. That's my worry.
Well, the baby boomers are pretty much done. Because we talk a lot
about
now.
These older guys.
Yeah, they're pretty much done. The baby boomers are about to be done. You know,
because you're in their 70s.
Because you're a baby boomer. You know, you're Gen X.
No, I'm Gen X.
You're Gen X. But the baby boomers are, so they're pretty much done. They're pretty much all retired. Or there's a few hanging on.
So who's going to be training the next group of people? It's like guys like you, right?
Millennials. Who get shit for being the worst generation.
No, don't worry. The new one, Alpha, whatever it's called.
Is that it? Alpha? Beta? I think there's one Beta. That's a bad one.
I don't fucking
know. That's a bad one.
But it's just like nobody's talking about being in construction, right?
No, it's I think though some people are coming around only because they see their friends doing it and they're like, fuck, this guy's doing good. This guy's doing good and he has no education and he didn't pay to go to school and he's fucking killing it, you know?
I know, but at that age in your 20s, a lot of them are making stupid mistakes. Like I was on a job site recently and I'm like, why is there a Mercedes parked here? And then I go in and I start asking, and all of a sudden it belongs to the new guy there.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
you're buying a Mercedes? What's wrong with you? Yeah. I drive a fucking Hyundai Accent that's filled to the brim with tools. But
that's what I mean. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Why would you be buying that? Just for status? I like... It makes well, no
you
know, sense.
When right? you're young, you like to blow money.
Everybody I know, but money. In your 20s, like, I had pieces of shit pickup trucks.
Yeah.
And me splurging was like getting fog lights on the front. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, order them in and yeah, then fucking yeah, hook them up. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, look at that. That looks fucking
sick. I've bought new cars, but always cheap on gas cars. But
this new generation isn't doing that. They're rolling in on a job site, and I'm seeing Benz and BMWs and Audis. And I'm like, dude, what's like, I get that you got the approval for the lease or whatever it is. But
just because you can buy something doesn't mean you should.
That's exactly
true. Well, that's people nowadays, too. People want to live fast, right? They don't give a fuck about tomorrow because, you know, some people say, oh, I can fucking die tomorrow. And I say, yeah, I get that. I can appreciate that.
Yes, but you could also live for the next 100 years.
Exactly. And you got to plan for the future, because I was fucking around with money for a long time, you know, and not taking saving seriously and stuff like that. And now in the last so many years, I really take saving. Have you ever read that Wealthy Barber book?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, they say the most important thing is you got to pay yourself first.
Yeah.
And that's savings. So out of your check, everybody can afford to save.
Figure out what your amount is.
That's what I do.
Pull it.
Mine goes into a fucking account I can't even touch.
But today's generation, you're looking at it going, well, 100% me. Mm-hmm. That's like they're just looking at it, right?
Mm-hmm. And it's that's why it's so important to even have like a pension. That's the union. Pension is fucking
a lot of
amazing.
People that are in construction don't have this security at the end.
I don't know what I do. I save on my own for RSPs and shit like that, but I don't think it'd be enough.
No, it never will be.
Right? And that's why the pension is huge. You know, we put in fucking big money in our
pension.
We're
in Canada, so that RSP is still going to get taxed when you pull it out. Yeah,
exactly. Well, same with my pension. Right?
It's deferred, but it's still deferred, right?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you get like guys on Carney talking about how he's moved his wealth to phantom fucking trusts. Yeah. Blind trusts was the term that I heard. Mm. What the fuck's a blind trust? So nobody knows who actually has it. So basically what you did is you hid your assets. Mm-hmm. That's interesting that you can do that. Can we do that too? We want to hide our assets. It's funny.
You're not up the food chain enough to do that, buddy.
Introducing Alt Labor Solutions, the game changer for contractors and laborers. Are you a contractor needing skilled labor, or have labor in need of quick shifts? Or how about buying, selling, or renting tools, material, and equipment? Connect easily with contractors and find resources hassle-free through Alt Labor Solutions online platform. Post job listings with project details, browse public resumes, and choose the right person for the job. Explore their job board for new opportunities and connect with top talent. Alt Labor Solutions revolutionizes the labor industry with a user-friendly interface, secure payments, and a supportive team. Visit them at altlaborsolutions.com and start connecting with other contractors today. This message is proudly supported by The Construction Life.
That's the sad
part.
Well,
then I feel that Canada should just become a jungle and then let's see who survives.
Yeah, you could do that.
I think
that.
A lot of the construction workers are going to survive.
I think so. Well, I pride myself on being a hustler. You know, I'm working for like 8 companies right now to stay afloat.
Wow.
Yeah, because nobody's got full time.
But you got 8 companies that are interested in your skill set.
Yeah, I usually bust my ass.
Yeah.
People like me, and I'm a personable guy, and I get along with most everybody, right? But it sucks that I got to go work for 8 companies because not one of them has work every day. That's fucked up.
That's just today's economy.
Yeah, that's fucked up. You know, like I'm going to get like 8 fucking T4s next year, you know, which it is what it is. What are you going to do? If it's that or stay home, I'm going to do that.
Right? Stay home and get EI.
Yeah, I could have done that this year, but I fucking hate going on EI.
Yeah.
I feel like such a lazy bitch. You know, and I get it. Some people have to go on EI. You're a seasonal guy. You know, you do curb and sidewalks and stuff. Those guys bust their fucking ass 8 months a year. Doing 60 hours, 70 hours a week. So they need the break. I get it. That's a tough gig. And, you know, what are they going to do? Find a job for 3 months in the winter? What's the point? So I get it. They get their little break. And you know what? I did that for 4 years. I was seasonal when I first started, and it's fucking nice. It's nice to just have a siesta for fucking 4 months and feel good and watch
TV. You don't go back crazy, man? You don't...
I was fucking partying a lot when I was a kid. I was at the liquor store at 11 in the morning. You know what I mean? So I wasn't really thinking about nothing. You know, I was still living at home. I didn't give a shit. $500 a week was more than enough for me to live off of back then. Or what was it? I think it was $700 every 2 weeks unemployment. That was about what it was. I had no car. Never been on,
so I don't know.
Never been on unemployment? No. So I, you got it at least once, man. You pay for it.
No, I didn't really pay for it because I've been an entrepreneur the whole time. I've always been self-employed.
Oh, you didn't pay.
In my early 20s, I guess, I was maybe making some money here and there, but not much.
Yeah, but I guess
it's a good thing. You don't get much unless you actually start paying into it, right? No,
it's 55% of what you make.
Is it still the same now?
Yeah, 55, but there's a cap.
Really?
There's a cap, yeah.
Monthly?
Bi-weekly. I think it's like just under $700 a week, but that's before tax.
Wow.
So it's probably about minimum wage, roughly. Maybe a little bit more than minimum wage. Probably clearing $600 a week on EI, if you get the max.
Or you can just get people to just like build this nation up and just...
Well, that's how fucking welfare used to work. They used to put you to work on welfare. My great-grandfather was on welfare.
Really?
Digging fucking sewers in Toronto. That was how they did it back in the day. My grandfather's dad.
He was working?
He was lost his job. So that was, I guess, in the Great Depression. And then they had a welfare thing, but they just gave you a job. It was just a shit job that paid fuck all. So his was digging sewers, I'm pretty sure, in Toronto. I'm sure by hand.
There was no excavator. There was no
backhoe, no nothing. In the 30s? I don't think so.
No, it was a shovel.
So, right?
Here you go.
Yeah, and then he went blind, right? So, yeah, he went blind when my grandfather was fairly young. Some of my grandfather started
from the job?
No, I think just in general he went blind. And then my grandfather started working real young. My grandfather, he would have been a fucking... He's not a construction worker, but he would have been a great guy to have on this show, man. He was fucking a barrel of laughs. He wasn't a construction worker, and he built the first little, you know, Sharon by Newmarket there?
No.
Anyways, he built the first houses in Sharon.
Really?
Yeah, they did a co-op with a bunch of people. So they had like a couple guys who were like a plumber, electrician, shit like that. And then, and he built the first houses in Sharon, man, not knowing fuck all. Went to school to learn how to build a bit. It's funny, he did all the concrete work in the basements and shit like that. But not knowing how to do it, just winging it.
He was just thrown into it?
Yeah, just winging it. Yeah, and they built the first houses in Sharon, and then he had some businesses and stuff like that. He owned a printing company, and that was all my uncles are in the printing business, too. My dad's retired now, but he was in the printing business, and fucking his business went bankrupt, and fuck, he went through hard times, man.
This would have been 50s, 60s?
Yeah, 60s, 70s, 60s, 70s. He went bankrupt, and my dad said, I think for about 5 years, all they had was powdered milk and big sacks of oatmeal. You could buy like 50-pound sacks of oatmeal. That's what they were eating. And my grandfather was working, I think, 3 full-time jobs to not lose his house.
It was hard, man.
So he was doing overnights, I think, at a printing. He loaded bread trucks, and then he was the janitor at my dad's school, too, working probably 80.
Try to explain that to anybody today.
Yeah, tough fucking guy. But you know what? Always positive. My grandfather was a super positive guy. No?
He was motivated because he had a family.
Well, he did. And my grandmother, you know, said, let's just sell the house. And he's like, fuck that. Built this house. I'm not leaving.
It was a pride thing.
Yeah, it was a pride thing. And maybe he should have, but he didn't want to. So I know he did probably $80-$100 a week for like 10 years to fucking get back. And everybody was having the mortgage burning parties. And my poor grandfather was, you know. But it is what it is.
I wonder if these are going to be similar stories 50 years from now from the generation that's coming into
construction. Maybe, but you like to think, you know, everybody needs help at some point.
Of course they do.
Nobody makes it on their own.
No.
You need a little bit
of help. There is no self-made.
No. There, you get a bit of help, whether it's somebody helping you with a job or helping you financially or helping me. No, I've got help over the years, you know, and it's good. And you hope... When you're older, your kids, you can help them the way maybe you were helped.
Of course, right?
Right? Because you always want better for your kids. You want your kids to exceed what you did.
But the problem, I think, is that you're getting a lot of kids now, like I've joked about it, where it's divorced parents. Yeah, they're getting half of the deposit for a house that's too much for them.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking at homes that are 1 point something. I don't think they should be looking at any home that starts with a one to begin with. And now you're expected to put down a $200,000 or $300,000 deposit just to make the mortgage so then you can get approved for it. Yeah. And I'm like, that's just, you're biting too much now. So just scale it back.
Yeah. It's, but fuck, what house isn't with a one in front of it now?
Get a little further away from the core and find something that's smaller.
You got to, but how
I know,
far?
But nobody wants to leave. Yeah, I know.
But how far are you willing to go? But then again,
Hamilton's fucking getting brutal. You start going north, Barrie's fucking brutal. Like everything's so becoming brutal now.
You like Aurelia. You know, and stuff, and even Aurelia, but Aurelia, but fuck, Aurelia, and you got to drive to downtown Toronto every day, making 130-kilometer commute every day. It's rough.
It's hard.
I'm in Bradford, and it can be rough commuting sometimes, right? I've driven fucking 3.5 hours to work one day.
Just to get there one day.
One day and drive home, you know? I've worked in Chatham, fucking Bruce Power, Halliburton, fucking Niagara Falls, you know, and for one day and driving home, you know? It's rough doing that commute, man. Commuting is fucking, you know, I remember, you know, people used to work in a small town. You get a job at a factory 5 minutes from your fucking house, remember? And you could support your family on that. That shit doesn't exist anywhere. Not really.
Lunchbox.
Yeah. Lunchbox, yeah.
The little fold one, you know?
Yeah.
One side had a thermos.
The steel one? Had,
The steel one. You know the one, right?
Yeah,
they don't make that lunchbox
anymore. They don't make that lunch. I buy the big cooler now. And I
always had a cooler.
So I buy a big family cooler, and I barely put water in it. And the only reason I do it is so it's a seat. Because there's no seats.
Yeah,
so,
I use
so if I'm smaller. Waiting for concrete,
yeah,
I sit
yeah,
down.
Yeah,
on it,
yeah, right? yeah, yeah. I bought the same cooler, not the big one, but the small one. And it fits my lunch, and I can sit on
and
it.
And everybody makes fun of me because I got this big cooler with fuck all in it.
But then I started seeing
that Chilean guy used to say, that big cooler, you got fuck all in there. I said, I don't know.
What do you want me to put in there?
Yeah, you know.
Some steaks?
Yeah.
Yeah, where are we going to grill it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
On the grill of the concrete mixer.
Yeah, you know.
You thought about your exit?
Yeah, I'm in it for life.
I mean, the thing is, I bring that up because...
Well, 55, I can pull my pension. So like 18 years. And then I'll keep working.
But the old guys never talked about their exit. When they leave, when they're done, they leave.
Mm-hmm.
They never discuss it. They're like, in 2 years, I'm gone.
I have a plan.
Yeah.
I have a plan. So 55, I'm going to pull my pension and I'm going to keep working, but the winners are done. I'll never work another winter here again past 55.
So just work in the optimum and then raise the family and find time for yourself.
Well, my fucking kids will be like 30 by the time I'm 55. So they'll be gone. 28 or something. Or maybe not. But that's fine. And then I don't give a fuck if my kids live with me till I die. I really don't care.
How many kids you got?
Two.
Two?
Boy and a girl. 10 and girl. 6. So, you know, by the time I'm 55, my youngest will be like 24.
Yeah.
You know, so like, well, how much trouble is she really going to be at 24? You know, I think they're being raised well, so I think they'll be good kids.
They'll be fine.
Yeah, if they want to, we have enough room in my house. You want to live with me forever? I don't give a fuck. You know, it is what it is. I'm a big family guy. Like, I love my family. I try to make as much time for them as I can. Maybe I don't sometimes, and that's my downfall, but I try. No, they love me, you know.
You're not working today, right?
No, thank God. No, I try not. I'll work Saturdays. The weekends, but I try not to do a lot of Saturdays, man. The weekend, I need to relax a bit too, you know.
You need your sanity back, man.
Yeah, you can't just. I work is very important to me, and I network a lot, so I talk to a lot of people. Like, I know a lot of people in, you know, between company owners and just union reps and other workers and stuff. I'm 21.
You're just securing future work.
Yeah, that's exactly. All you're doing. Yeah, exactly. That's what I do. Yeah.
Which is important.
Absolutely.
I think we covered everything before. I got to do the 12 questions.
Unless there's anything else you want
to
ask.
But I guess
me.
I'm trying to figure out which culture would it have been, a Portuguese or would it have been Italian swear words that you would have learned first?
Oh, Portuguese.
Would have been Portuguese?
A lot of caralho.
Yeah, exactly.
Vapu carai and all that shit. And chupacua, mamacua, all that shit. And oh, brush, give me the brush and all that shit. I heard all that shit when I was a kid.
You know? Meanwhile, you're probably there for the first time going, is that English?
Yeah, what the fuck is a carayu, you know? Oh, they cut it and all that shit.
Yeah. You gotta love the fucking pork chops.
Yeah, man. They're cool. I love them.
It's fucking they're easy. Cool. Bear, I have an absolute pleasure having you on the show, man.
Good.
Fuck. I'm taking up your time and I feel so bad, man. That's so, okay. No, but if you can somehow get some old timers in here, come back.
I'm gonna try. Come back
with them so they feel a little more safe because they don't know who the fuck I am.
I'm really gonna try, man, because they just be fucking, people would be keeling over dying laughing so hard.
Well, I would say they're gonna be fucking learning.
And that too. Yeah.
They're gonna, like, those guys, in my opinion, they're the wealth of fucking knowledge, man.
Oh, yeah.
Old guys. And I don't want them to go without giving it up somewhere, right? So if we can record it and capture a bit of it, then that's fucking helpful.
They should. Those guys are wise, man. You know, old age usually comes wisdom.
That's what they say.
It does. I think I've got wiser. I like to think over the years. Maybe I got dumber. I don't know.
No, we all get wiser.
Or more stupider. How do you say I'm more stupider?
Ready?
Yeah.
A person you would trade places with for a day.
I think either of my grandfathers.
See what it was like?
See what it was like, yeah. Because they had tough times, but I think tough times builds character.
It does.
Yeah.
Guilty pleasure.
Smoking, I guess. Smoking.
Yeah. Big smoker. Wife's got to say quit it, right? No?
Sorry?
Does she bring it up?
She smokes too.
Oh, she's okay.
Yeah, so it's tough. Right?
So you both got to tell each other.
Yeah, I'm the heavy smoker though. She's you know, a pack of last her a week.
And you're what, a pack of last an hour?
It depends. If I'm working, yeah, I can smoke two small packs a day.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Smokes are expensive now, eh? What do they cost?
I buy
the
fucking cheap ones. I don't buy those
expensive. Like $20 or something?
Oh, yeah. It's like for good, like premium, like Belmont's, it's like $25 a pack now. Yeah, fuck that.
Least favorite tool.
Fuck, what did I say? Oh, that post banger. The T-bar post banger? Fuck, does that thing suck?
That just reverbs in your whole body, man, and your ear canal.
Yeah. And that and the fucking, for concrete, the four groove edger. The thing that's the stupidest bullshit they ever came out with here. It does fuck all, and they think it's good.
Biggest risk you ever took?
You know, two, if I can say two.
Sure, of course.
One was joining the union because I was working for a small non-union masonry company at the time, and I left to go take a course to join the union.
Yep.
And the guy told me, I think you're going to get a big mistake. And I was like, maybe I am. You know, I didn't know, but I thought, fuck it, I'm going to go for it. And then also leaving, doing mostly labor work to get into just flat work about 8 years ago. Because, you know, I'd always done concrete, but I wasn't like a finisher.
I knew
a little bit here and there doing curb and sidewalk. But curb and sidewalk isn't like doing big production. It is, but not, you know what I mean? So I left doing what I know, where I was making good money, to do something new. And I struggled in the beginning a bit, you know, finding work and stuff like that. It was tough, but it paid off in the end. So it was big risk, but big reward.
Best compliment you ever got?
Going back to that old guy I work with sometimes, and one day we were finishing a floor, and it was a tough day, and I said, fuck, I don't know if I did that good of a job. And he says, you did all right, kid. And I meant a lot coming from him.
He saw it.
Yeah, he saw it, and he's fucking, I respect that guy a lot, so it meant a lot coming from him.
Favorite beverage?
Juice. I'm a big juice guy. I love juice. But I like water, too.
Which juice?
Like any type of fruit juice or anything like that. You know, I'm not a big alcohol drinker. I will drink, but I'm not a big alcohol drinker. Like coffee, I love to. Water, even. I'm a huge water drinker.
What never fails to make you laugh?
My family. Yeah. All my family. My kids and my wife, especially. Though. My wife's fucking hilarious. And my kids, too. They're so funny.
Worst piece of advice you ever got?
From that same guy who told me not to join the union.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt one day?
Sales.
Sales?
Yeah. Probably in construction because that's what I know, but I think I'm a pretty personal guy and sales is all about selling yourself.
Concrete. You could do concrete.
Yeah, I could. I think I could.
Then you'd be talking all the scientific stuff.
Right? Yeah. Winterizer
this six. We got a winterizer 21 now.
Yeah, I know.
It's good up to -100. Yes. Mm. Nobody's fucking pointing at that.
Yeah.
What is your favorite curse word?
Fuck off. Because fucking, I have a story behind. I told it last time, but
yeah.
This guy, Oh, it was so funny, man. Came in at 7 a.m. and was at work till like 3 a.m. the day before. And he's like, every fucking time I finish at 3 a.m., it's a 7 a.m. start. Fuck off with the 7 a.m. And then that became a little personal joke between me and him. And it was just everything was fuck off. And fuck off. Like, you know, it'd be dirty on the site. We'd be like, fuck off with the site I can't even walk on because it's so fucking dirty. And I laugh my ass off every time he says it. Funny guy. Fuck off. Funny guy.
Is he still working with you?
No, he works at another company now, but I think he might be out of work right now. Yeah. Mm. Good guy, though. Solid guy.
What is your favorite vehicle? Any mode of transportation?
Probably. I'm not a big car buff, so like I just more just want to get around, but like probably a truck, like a nice Toyota truck, Tundra or something like that.
Last question. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at those pearly gates?
Just that I was all right. You know, I was a good person. That's all. You know, I take pride in being a good person and caring about people and being a loving person. You know, I'm not a religious guy, I wouldn't say, but I am big into the do unto others as they want. You want done unto
you. Just respect.
Respect.
Treat everybody. Respect. Nice.
Absolutely.
But a little jab here and there is okay. Well,
You got to. Fuck off with the giving everybody respect. You know? Nah, you got to give it. Right? You can't let people walk all over you.
No, it's a community. That's all it is. Absolutely. We're all just getting along. Absolutely. We're all fucking struggling. We're all trying to survive. Absolutely. That's all it is, man.
Absolutely,
so,
man.
Bear, man, I appreciate it, man. Thanks so much. Absolute pleasure for making the time and getting on the show. And love to have you back whenever you get a fucking chance, man.
I'll come back as much as you want.
I don't want to take you from the union and shit. I don't want the union going, listen, stop getting on the fucking show. Stop you talking. You know
what? I'm not going to badmouth the union.
And No. I'm not saying that. No.
I like the union. Yeah. So I think they'd be happy to see me on this show because I know all the upper management in the union and I got nothing bad to say about them. They've treated me well.
They've treated you well and they've taken care of you and they put food on the table. They
treated me well. Right, you know, so I got nothing bad to say, really. So you know,
it's good, man.
Yeah,
I got nothing negative to say about it.
Yeah, they're good.
That's it, brother. We're done.
All right, man.
All done. All right, we're out of here.